Index Podcast.
Hey, thanks for listening to Up Next Podcast. It's your host, Victor Castaldo, and today my guest is AJ Wayne. How you doing today?
What it do? I'm doing good. Blessed. New Era Entertainment. AJ Wayne in the building. Don B in the building. My brother Amaj in the building.
Yes, sir.
Shout out, Vic, for getting me together. We just dropped a video 2 days ago. We just dropped a video. Self-Pity is on iTunes and YouTube. It's the first official video from my Project Kid album. So I'm very excited. It's the first video we did together, too.
Yeah.
It was really a different experience. You know what I mean? It was crazy. So that was probably the best video I ever did. But I know we're gonna do some more. And then me and him, we working on doing some videos for our project that's gonna be coming soon. With his video, dude. So it's just gonna be two different perspectives.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a boom.
How's the feedback been from the album?
It honestly, man. We didn't even really care about the feedback. We was just prepping for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we just prepped for it, like, as far as, like, marketing and, you know, playlisting mm-hmm. and just, you know, mixing the songs over mm-hmm. and over and redoing some stuff.
Yeah.
Really everything. And I feel like all that put into it, I feel like it was just, like, just guaranteed, like, somebody was going to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think it's been pretty good. A lot of people, as far as, like, in my family, like, usually my family don't really listen to my music like that and tell me. So, like, now it's kind of different since I actually involved them on the cover art, you know what I mean? And took it home and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a different vibe. But, you know, it's been okay. Like, I'm humble about it. Like, I really just, because, like, what humbles me about it, like, I feel like if I drop a EP and like, Designer got 20,000 streams on Spotify, we sitting there like, well, like, we needed to get 100,000 streams.
Yeah.
Like we need a video for it. We need this and that. We not sitting there like, oh, well, it did that, so, like, we done.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, we, you know, like, we got to keep it going.
Your goals are set higher.
So, like, I get feedback from the album and from the EP, but for me, it's not going to be done until it's done. You know what I mean? Until I get a video to every song out.
Yeah.
You know, until I done pushed it everywhere I could push it. Till we done actually start back performing. You know, because that's how you really get people to listen to Shazam your music and to play your music is that live presence in
and
front of them.
Connect with, like, it more in videos and in live than they do by just getting sent a link or something.
It's a different vibe when you're on stage, and it's different. It's way different.
So you mentioned your podcast. What are you doing with that?
We started a podcast after I dropped my last mixtape, Sorry for the Wayne, in July. And I think I started a podcast like December.
Okay.
It was Sorry for the Podcast. Mm-hmm. So I did that little series. It was probably like six, maybe five episodes, actually.
Okay.
It was just kind of like me just doing some beginners, just like, you know, spreading it, talking about, like, it was just kind of, at first, the idea was we're going to talk about music and about, like, me and my homies, we're just chilling. It's kind of like a real vibe. It was So you listen to that, it kind of like, it just sound raw. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, now I'm kind of like just studying the podcast game. Like, I listen to Joe Budden podcast. You know, I listen to your podcast. It's a couple other, like, Black Lives Matter. I was supposed to say that at first. I got to say that on your podcast because they need to know that. Black Lives Matter, okay? I listen to a lot of Black Lives Matter podcasts.
Like what?
It's a new one called The Read. It's been around a little bit, actually.
Okay.
It's called The Read.
Okay.
It's a lady named Nessa, and it's a dude.
Is she kind of informing people, or what is she doing?
She's really just, like, talking about stuff that happened. So, like, if it happened this week, they talking about it on The Read.
Kind of like,
you know,
news?
What I mean? Yeah, yeah. But it's every week, though.
Okay.
And my podcast was kind of every week. Like,
okay.
You know, like yours. Like, I think that's a good, when you're doing a series.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing. When you're doing it every week, you consistently on them. Because it's like, oh, damn, they do music, but then they doing that, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's giving them a different look.
Yeah.
So I'm just studying a podcast game right now. Just, you know, taking notes.
Hell yeah. Do you have an idea for another series you're going to start?
I'm going to do a Project Kid podcast.
Okay.
It's going to be more raw, like, more like me, like talking to my people, you know, but still talking to everybody. But just, like, you know, just waking people up, just kind of getting the message across, you know, mm-hmm. like it's okay to be just you, no matter if you're yellow, you're fucking brown. I don't care what you are. You feel me?
Yeah.
If you wake up and you feel like this you and you want to go out there, and you want to, and that's you, then that's you. You shouldn't have to die for it. You shouldn't have to be like, oh, I'm going to be misconstrued, or I'm going to be killed for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You should be able to just be you, no matter if anybody think it's not the real you or it is the real you, you should be able to just be you.
Right.
You shouldn't have to die for it, you know?
I agree.
I think Black Lives Matter, and when we say that, I think that people know that that means anybody that's under that umbrella, like, everybody matter. Mm-hmm. We all matter. Mm-hmm. Anybody that think we matter. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's what that means. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about love. It's about inclusion. It's mm-hmm. about everybody. You know? And that's kind of going to be the message for my, you know, my Project Kid podcast. Because people have heard the music.
Yeah.
You know, people know about me. So I want to just be able to just talk about stuff. Just different stuff. So.
That's cool. I'm going to have to check it out. You have to send me a link.
I'm definitely going to bring it back.
Did you idolize any artists growing up when you were kind of, before you started making your own stuff?
Man, I grew up at first on R&B music.
Oh, yeah?
You know, like, before I actually got to pick my own music.
Yeah, you listened to whoever you were around.
So I was in Jagged Edge, you know, Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
Shit, Erykah Badu.
Yeah.
I can't say his name, but... The old R. Kelly. Lord Jesus, they're going to kill me. Oh, God. I listen to a lot of R&B, though, and I still do this nowadays, too. It kind of came full circle, but in between that, I got into rap. Like my stepdad, he would play with a lot of OJ the Juice Man, Rick Ross, like Bun B, Young Jeezy, stuff like that. And then when I got into it, like, I got into hip-hop probably, like, around 2010, like, really got into it and not just, like, watching MTV videos with my parents and stuff. I'm actually like, I'm doing my own thing.
Okay. Like, so you've 2010, been doing it for like 10 years.
Yeah, 2010, man, that's when I found out about like Young Money. Like, we had the book bags and stuff, like Fanatics. Like, like everybody know I love Nicki Minaj. Like, you know, that's my girl. But I love Lil Wayne and Drake too. And like ASAP Rocky. Like ASAP Rocky was my favorite rapper when he came out. Like, that shit was just fucking crazy. That did me dirty when he came out. Like, that was the most...
Where was that?
That movement was crazy. Cincinnati? ASAP Rocky?
Yeah.
What you mean? No, I'm not talking about a concert. I'm just saying, like, just when he came out, just the vibe.
Okay.
I ain't never seen him in concert. I've been to a few. I never seen him, no. I was a kid back in 2010, so.
What's your favorite concert you've been to?
My favorite, probably Snoop Dogg.
Where was that?
Cincinnati. I went with my best friend. I won some tickets after 102.9, matter of fact. Yeah, I want some tickets. I want tickets twice in a row, matter of fact.
Really?
I want tickets for Snoop Dogg 1 year, and then I want tickets for J. Cole the next year. I didn't go to the J. Cole, though. I was sorry. I didn't even go. I was sick. I didn't even go.
Did you sell the tickets? Or just
I gave them to my best friend, matter of fact. Yeah, I think her and her man went, matter of fact. But my favorite besides Snoop Dogg, because the Snoop Dogg concert was just like, okay, so look, y'all. Snoop Dogg has a song called Legend, right?
Yeah.
I barely knew that, but I think I had knew it subconsciously, right?
Yeah.
So at the show, we wasn't too far from the stage. So when he was got towards the end, I could just tell he just feeling the crowd. He trying to see what we were saying, right? Or what we was feeling. I started just yelling Legend. Like, the whole crowd was Legend. And he did the song. I swear he did a song. Like, he came out, I'm a motherfucking Legend. Like, he did the song. That was the craziest shit I ever seen. Stevie Wonder last year, downtown at the Oregon.
Okay.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
And Chance the Rapper.
Where was Chance?
He came out too.
And Dayton?
At the Oregon. Dave Chappelle did a show at the Oregon.
It was all that.
It was a relief concert for the mass shooting down there.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a benefit concert.
Yeah.
Like, it was like 100,000 people down there.
Wow.
We won tickets. I think we won tickets like off the radio again.
Yeah.
On Facebook. I'm not sure.
That sounds a little bit rigged. I'm not higher winning that many times, bro. I never heard of anybody winning.
Hey, I did win them too. Damn. Yeah, I won them. Yeah, I did. Yeah,
I would love to see Snoop, man.
I did go to a paid concert, though, for Gucci Mane. I paid to see. We was in VIP. Me and my brother and his girlfriend, we went to see Gucci Mane. Who else came out? Kodak Black came out.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, Kodak, when he came out, this man, he killing his song and stuff, man. Somebody throw one thing on the stage, he gets mad and just storms off.
Nah.
Like, I swear to God, bro, I'll never forget that. He just stormed off.
That's interesting.
He just stormed off. He was pissed.
They're so, their attitudes are so interesting. Like, you kind of see the real them when something happens, but you don't really know that based on their music or based on what the label wants their music to be, so...
Yeah,
I think that stuff's interesting.
He's a glorified, like, he's a gangster. I like Kodak, though, but, like, he has a gangster image, so that's not surprising.
Yeah, that they have a certain behavior or something.
That's not surprising. If I did that, they would be surprised, like, damn.
Ungrateful.
You know what I mean? But he do that. It's like, all right, he's going to go get drunk.
What's your favorite show you've performed at?
I had a birthday bash at Club Evolution, a club that we will never go back to. FYI, since we're doing a podcast, I guess I can inform them that we are not doing any more shows at Club Evolution. And if you are black or support anybody that is black, you wouldn't be doing any shows there or walking into that establishment. Club Evolution on Day and Patterson Boulevard. But anyway, one of my favorite shows was at Club Evolution. Back before all of this, you know, what we're going through now, now, before people showed their true colors. But Evolution, we did a birthday bash for my birthday. It was probably like the second show we threw. It was probably like around November 30th. I think that was the date. Or December 1st, something like that. But we threw a birthday bash, man. It was like max to capacity in there.
Really?
And it was my birthday bash, even though my birthday was like a week later. But it was max to capacity, and it was so crazy because we had Eric the Demon performing there. I think we had Black Trev. My brother Don B. Shit, we had so many people at the birthday bash, man. Jevin Lamar, Solution. It was a lot of artists that performed. I can't even remember. It was a lot of artists that performed, though. It was a good show. And we did another show New Year's. And we did another show Valentine's Day. So all three of them shows were just like, because they were my shows. That was the first time I started throwing shows was last year. So, like, it was different when, like, me and him put these shows together. You feel me?
Right.
Like, it was just a different vibe, and it was just getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know, like, before the pandemic, we probably would still be throwing, if it wasn't a pandemic, and we would definitely be throwing shows right now. But, you know, everything happened for a reason, and we working on, like, out-of-town shows now.
Yeah.
Like, we working on getting booked. And for after the summer, like, you know, we planning ahead. We planning months ahead.
Yeah, you know, you have to.
Just to try to get ahead of the game.
So speaking on the pandemic, how do you stay motivated to create during one? And how do you suggest other artists do the same?
I think in the beginning of the pandemic, my mixtape might have been done. So I kind of was just like living. Like, you know, people don't know that though. But I kind of, because I started working on my project in January. So it's only 7 songs.
Right.
So like I kind of had time to like kind of like digest a little bit. But I did start making music, like, in the middle. Like, we started back making music. I never stopped either. I write all the time. I'm just talking about being in the booth. It's a different vibe when you're in the studio.
Yeah.
But in the studio, you know, we got back in and start working on our project. You know, we putting together something. Like, I started writing, you know, in the middle of the pandemic for that. And it's kind of like, it's coming from kind of like a, like, I feel like Project Kid, it's like a me and my chill zone.
Yeah.
You know, like, this place that I'm coming from now for this project, like, I'm upset, but I'm not upset. Like, I'm just like, I'm in a good place. Like, I'm in a peaceful place, but I feel like I got a voice and I got to talk shit and I got to get my point across. You know what I mean? And the only way for me to get my point across is for me to use my platform and not to be weak and to be aggressive, you know, and not saying that, like, because, you know, we all homies and stuff. So, like, in real life, you know, it's a different vibe. But, like, when you're using your platform and you're trying to talk to people, you can't be weak. You got to be aggressive. You know, you got to be assertive. You know, I learned that from him. You feel me? Like, just being up front with people. You know, being up front with the situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, realizing, like, okay, well, if I can't do this, I got to speak up. If I can't do this, I got to speak up. You know, instead of just letting shit just roll. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm an advocate for just really just using your voice. That don't mean you got to be at home yelling at the house. That mean you use your platforms that you got, you know?
Yeah.
Even if you got 3 followers, somebody looking, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody watching.
So let's go over real quick the Project Kid album, like each track, and I'll just say the track name and if anything I think about it, and you can let me know, like, yeah, that song, The Session, was cool or whatever. So Designer, like, how do you feel about that song, and how do you feel your listeners feel about that song?
Designer was the second song we did for Project Kid, I'm pretty sure. Technically the third song, because the actual
song. Oh, you recorded it third.
Yeah,
but it's the first track, right?
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, so Designer, I think, when we did Designer, me and Don, we did that. We worked on that song for like 2 days, and the vibe for that song was just when I did this album, I'm like, man, I'm just going to be chill. I don't want to be in a trap. Like, I want to be like on the radio, like
I want to be
like on top of Spotify, like I want to be on playlists, like I don't want to just be stuck in a trap, you feel me? So I feel like with that, I'm just like, man, I gotta just give them a vibe, you know?
Yeah,
like, I gotta give them a vibe, and I feel like with that song, the reason like that song is so big, because that's my biggest song right now. Like, I'm about to shoot a video to that. Mm. Like, we about to shoot a video to that, you know what I mean? Soon, like, that song got 20,000 plays on Spotify, so I got to, just because of off the strength. Like, people not used to me giving them a vibe like that. People used to me just kind of like cutting straight to the point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I'm like, it's just so cryptic now. You know, like, it's just so cryptic. Like, he said something the other day. He was like, man, like, I don't want to give it away, though. But he said, like, it's like you rapping riddles, you know? Like, you got to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's funny. So when he said that, I was just thinking, like, damn, I kind of do, man.
Yeah.
Like, I do. Like,
I like bars like that, or double entendre bars, or... Like we were talking about before about Nicki Minaj bars. They kind of sound dumb, but if you think about them, there's like so many levels to them.
Facts. And guess who taught her? And guess who taught every rapper in the rap game?
Who?
Lil Wayne. Lil Weezy.
Yeah,
okay?
I agree. His shit sounds...
He schooled all of them. He taught them all the game.
He makes it sound like simple rap, but it's bars and... At least a lot of it sort of freestyle punching together. So I think that's cool too.
Yeah,
I wish I was more of a punching artist.
He's to the point, he don't even write his lyrics no more. I would love to get to that point.
Yeah.
I can't even
forget him.
My
he's looking him up at the show, like, okay, what's the lyric? Because he doesn't even know which.
Like, I can't.
It's interesting.
Man, I can't record on my phone. I gotta be on point, man. I like my lyrics done.
Yeah.
Or if it ain't done, I like to get in the studio. He see me, like, I write that shit and I'm gonna write it in 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You feel me? And now we get to the point, like, I actually, like, rap my stuff out loud and just, like, you know, like, I actually, like, we actually sitting there, like, seeing if it's good or not instead of just getting on the mic and wasting time. You feel me?
Yeah.
I like that song a lot,
definitely,
though.
Definitely. What about Big Loss?
Big Loss is, that's the first song we did, matter of fact, that we recorded, but it's the second song on the album.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be the intro.
What made you switch it?
Me and him, like, we put it together, and, like, it just made sense for designer to be the intro. It just makes, a lot of stuff makes sense now. Like, it just makes sense for that to be the intro.
Yeah.
Just because it's just, like, it just gets straight to it, but it's still so cryptic, you know what I mean? And it's still so moody.
Mm.
It's just a vibe versus Big Loss is just, like, me just rapping. Like, that Big Loss is, like, me and, like, in my pajamas watching Avatar writing rhymes, like, that's me. Like, that's what Big Loss is. Like, I know you hear it in the background. Like, you just hear it. Like, that's just me, like, in my petty mode, in my kid mode. I'm chilling on the bed, you feel me?
Yeah.
Thinking I'm Aang, you know what I mean? Like, that's the vibe that song is. It really is, like.
That's cool.
For real.
I like this. It's getting people a little depth to the purpose and the structure of it. So, the next track, the third track, is Blessed. What's your opinion on this track? How do you feel about that?
Blessed. I wrote Blessed when I was looking at like the country and stuff, like going to war. I think they was talking. You know, the news is they cycle in and out shit every other week, so it's so much new shit.
Yeah.
So like that Blessed song is just like me just rapping about, like, I don't even watch the news, I don't read the press.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just talking about like, we blessed, like, sure, we stressed, like, everybody stressed, we all stressed the fuck out, but, like, at the end of the day, when you can go to bed and you can wake up, then you're blessed. When you can go hug your child, or go hug your mother, or go hug your sister or your brother, you blessed. You feel me? When you can answer a FaceTime, somebody that you fuck with, and they fuck with you, that's a blessing, like, you know? So I count them, like, I keep tabs on my blessings. You feel
it's
me?
It's important to appreciate those things and not just...
Yeah, I'm not keeping tabs on my losses.
Yeah.
Like, I cut them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the wins... You know what I mean? And the blessings. That's why I made a song called Big Loss and then put Blessed right after it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So they know. Because Big Loss ain't just me sitting there talking about, I ain't talking about nobody else took a big loss. At the end of the day, I might be, but I'm not. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting there talking about myself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you hear what I'm saying? Like, took a big loss. Hold up. Like, it's just a different vibe.
I like that. I think it's cool how you structured it with that and then Blessed after that.
And we both did. We put that project together. Like, you know, like, I wrote the songs, most of the songs and stuff, and, like, did everything, like, as far as that. But, like, me and him, he mixed this, you feel me? We put that together strategically so it would make sense. And it's just making sense more and more, you know, like, day by day.
Yeah.
It's just making sense.
What can you say about the track, The Show?
The Show is my favorite one on there, matter of fact.
Really?
It's kind of underrated, though.
Why do you think it's underrated?
I don't know. They just, people just, I feel like... as you get more and more feedback, you get more and more feedback about certain things and certain songs. Mm. And that's one of the songs like I get feedback about, but it's like it's a special one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that song is like just like a, that song was a vibe. Like when we the middle of it cut out. You know what I mean? It's like a smoke break in the middle of it.
Okay.
And like when I made the song, when we was in there doing it, like we took a smoke break in the middle of the song. I said, all that you hear in there is like real. You feel me? Like
you anytime just left the you mic hear on break, and smoked.
No, we was right. I was just right there. Like we were just talking, yeah. And the song had cut, and I started laughing in the middle of it. You know what I mean? And then he was like, "Can I smoke with you?" And then it cut back to me rapping in, and like it's so funny because that song when I was writing it, I was like, I write sometimes around people. Like I get inspired, so I might just put one of my headphones in while you're talking, and just write. Like you might not, you know, not on no disrespectful stuff. Like we just all together, and I'm writing.
Yeah.
But like when I did that song, I was with my friend, and she was in there. You know, I'm rapping it to her before, because a lot of times I practice it in front of other people before I even go to the studio with him.
That's
you feel
good.
Me?
That's
I
good.
Get, I just you feel me? Just try to get a vibe out.
Yeah.
And when I did that. So, you know how the second verse is a whole different flow, like cushion, forever and trip, da, da, da. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, I'm rapping in one flow. So, like, at first, you feel me? Like, I'm in there sitting there rapping it to her, and I went into the second verse, and she's like, "You're not going to switch it up?" Like, at first, it wasn't like that. Like, I just came back in rapping. Like,
at
first, I was about to say, "High on like a rocket, now I'm on day three." I was just about to just keep going.
Yeah.
But I switched it up, and it's just like, them second thoughts and them moments, like, people around you, like, you got to have the right people around you, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that constructive criticism and that, like, not being a yes man and not being just having people around you that's okay with you fucking up and okay with you getting drunk and not correcting you about you fucking up if you are drunk, doing some crazy, you know, like, just dumb shit. Like, you got, like, I'm really, like, I don't have, like, it ain't 1,000%, but, like, I have the right people around me to where I know, like, and I just know to do the right shit and to, like, okay, boom, if I'm putting together a project that I want to ride out for the rest of the year, I'm going to spend the beginning of the year to fucking do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I wanted to ride out for 6 months, 12 months, I need to spend 6 months, 12 months working on it. You know what I mean? We need to spend 6 to 12 months fucking putting this shit together like blocks. You know what I mean? And that's what we do. We trying to get it to just where it's just like just immaculate, but like we're getting there. You're like, it's the beginning of summer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We getting there, and them songs, you know, it would have never happened if I didn't have the right people around me that ordered them songs or none of them songs.
Right.
Would have never happened.
I think that's important for a lot of artists. You see it to a different degree depending on the artist and how comfortable they are with somebody being around. Like some people, their parents, like maybe they're 17, their mom tried to buy them time, and then they didn't show up because they couldn't rap in front of their mom. And there's other people that I've worked with that their mom's their manager, and that she's always there if they rap. And so everybody finds who that is, and it might be somebody who it is for you is the worst person for somebody else. Yeah. Ultimately, it's whoever can help you get to wherever your goals are. If it's somebody who can help your sound get better or help you in terms of making your sound more dynamic, that's somebody helping you get to where you want to be. If it's somebody who's just smoking in the corner and just not contributing, it's not like they're bad. You don't need to necessarily cut all those people off all the time, but when you're trying to do your creative stuff, they're not helping you get to where you want to be. They're just there, you know? So you want people that give an insight or,
you
know, help somehow.
Definitely.
Doesn't
especially
need to be
if you're in that
lot.
Space, that creative space.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, so we're halfway done with it. The next track is Brand New. How do you feel about this track, and why did you place it here in the middle?
It's just like a high point. Brand New remind me of Designer. It's just like another
So you want to bop, space him out
bop
a little kind bit.
Of song.
Yeah,
that's the reason Project Kid, the last song, was just like jump.
Yeah,
you know, and then it's like the content all in the middle. Mm-hmm. And them songs still do have content, but them songs are still songs I can perform anywhere or play in the club. You know what I mean? Like, but the Brand New. Was damn Brand New that was, man, they all my favorite. I'm because I can't keep saying this. Brand New one of my favorites too, man. It's just a bop. It's a bop. Brand New. I'm gonna do a video to that. You know, while we talking about it, you know, we're gonna do a video to Designer next. But I'm gonna do videos to Brand New and Project Kid the song
for sure.
Just because, like I said, them the ride outs for the album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like them the cuts that people gone.
You need those type of songs.
Yeah, and Self Pity. You know, that's like. What's going on right now, and that's why I dropped that video.
Yeah.
Just because it's so accurate.
What's Rules about?
Rules is about me saying, like, you know, like, I'm back. If I never left, you know, I'm working harder. My sound is different. My sound is better. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm back. We about to kill the summer. You know what I mean? It's an inspiring cut, but it's still a cut, like, with me, like, going back to my rap roots. But it's an inspiring cut just because of the atmosphere of the track. And, you know, my mom in the middle of it talking.
Yeah.
Inspiring me, like, pushing me and stuff. And it's just, like, I come back in, you know, like, just talking about some real issues, like, about my cousin dying, you know what I mean? About my mama raising his daughter for a little bit, you know, just, you know, me, you know, being cool with people and then finding out that they're snakes or they're fucking just not good for you. You know, we all young, you know, we gonna go through that till we die, but it's good to be able to, you know, go through that and get better and better, you know what I mean? But that song was just like me just talking about, like, you know, rule number one, do them how they did you, you know, like, rule number two, never ever play the fool, you know, like, it's just like, I wrote it into, like, probably that first verse in probably, like, 10 minutes. I'm just like, man. And that whole album is produced by one producer, too, besides the last song. So it's just, like, one whole vibe. And I'm just like, I want every song to mean something to me. Because if every single song means something to me, every single song can mean something to somebody else.
Right.
Or even one can.
Right.
You feel me? I know that song. Like, that's the one that I get a lot of feedback about.
Really?
The rules. Yeah, so we might end up doing a video of that. I like that song a lot.
Hell yeah. Track 7, Self Pity. And as you mentioned, we shot a video for this. And you got that on YouTube now.
Self Pity, some shit.
Yeah. Maybe one of the most relevant to the times that happened after you had dropped the project.
Because
things were kind of like different then, but they're still even changed now from that time to now. So
it resonates. Like, so that song really resonates just with the mood right now. Maybe not. I might not be sitting there talking about, like, injustice and, you know, COVID-19 and Black Power, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But I'm still sitting there talking about, like, my injustice and my, you know, my self-pity and other people's self-pity. And, you know, like, we live in a day and an age. Like, that song is really, like, a double entendre if a song could be one. You know, because the song is literally... I'm being sarcastic, but I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, in a way, because it's just like, you know, I get on Facebook every day begging for some sympathy. I get on IG looking at who I could really be. Like, it's like me talking from, like, a standpoint of me now and back then. Because back then, I used to be like, okay, I'm going to get on social media, but, like, I don't admire these people no more. I don't look up to these people no more. Like, you know what I mean? I look up to us and me and what we represent. Like, I don't look up to none of them no more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I mean. Like, and I feel like being full of self-pity is being okay with not being your own voice and being your own power and needing to have somebody else do that for you. That's, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what that song is about. It's about me. Like, man, like, I've had moments, all the moments that I was talking about.
Yeah.
But now I quit. You heard me at the end of the song? Mm-hmm. Like, now I quit. I never even talked about these songs in depth until now. Like, it's a different vibe. Mm-hmm. But that song is the most meaningful song to me on there. It's the most meaningful song next to Rules, you know what I mean? But that song is definitely a good closer. I put that song. That was going to be the outro. Obviously, I put the Project Kid because that's just the song. And that's the essence of me. Like, that's the actual Project Kid song.
Yeah.
That's why I put it at the end. But Self-Pity is definitely the closer. You know, that's why I did a video to it. I just wanted them to see it. Like, everybody I've been showing the video to, they're like, you actually, like, peeling back. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're peeling back your layers, you know? You're giving them, like, you.
Yeah.
And they need to see that. They need to see that I can be, like, which I am. Like, if you know me in real life, you know, like, I'm a fun dude. I'm emotional. I'm this and that. I'm crazy. I'm 120 different things. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not just, like, rapping hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, or just rapping about fucking, you know, anything. Like, you know, I can rap about, I can literally make a song about anything. We put a word in front of me, I will make a contentful song about it. If you put a fucking banger song in front of me in the trap, I mean, we go to the strip club, I can make a banger over it. Mm-hmm. You put a gospel song in there and you don't want me to cuss, I can do that. You know what I mean? It just depends on what we're doing. Because now what we do is, like Future said, he said something on his album, like, you don't make moves without the team. Like, you know, like, you just don't. Like, everything got to be just, like, on one level.
Yeah.
You know, and we building a team and a movement. So everything we do, we don't just do it. We second guess it. We third guess it. We think about it. We, you know, we inspect it, research, all that.
Are you looking to do features with different artists right now? Or are you looking to focus on your stuff? What's your goal?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking for I'm trying to get my budget up because I want to do a feature with a famous person. I want to do a feature with somebody in the industry, so that's my goal. I've worked with like anybody I want to work with here. Like I want to like do a definitely feature with somebody like famous though. Like that would be dope. I know like you know me and you, we all got stuff together. But as far as just like on a level of people that I don't know, I don't want to like work with anybody unless there's like I want to work with somebody that's famous, like or somebody that's just like I look up to.
Yeah.
And I really don't look up to many people, so you got to inspire me. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like right now I'm listening to A Boogie. Like I could hear myself doing a song with him just because I know his songs. But
yeah.
Even him, like realistically, I wouldn't put him on my album. You know what I mean? I would get on his album.
Why wouldn't you put him on yours?
I just feel like bringing somebody into your atmosphere is just different. So like if we put together a mixtape, then I would put features on it. But if I'm doing an EP or something that's personal, it shouldn't have nobody on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of artists like him make personal music, but they still put people on their songs. So that's why I said that. Like, I wouldn't do that, but that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know?
So you'd fit on his better.
Mm-hmm. Because okay. That's their vibe. It wouldn't feel real with mine if he got on my shit.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear that.
It definitely would.
What advice do you have for creators in 2020?
Just give up sleep if you can. And always remember that is if you are a artist, if you are an entrepreneur and you have one income, you are not an artist or an entrepreneur, okay? And I'm not saying that to downplay nobody. I'm not saying that to shit on nobody. I'm just saying to be a real entrepreneur and to be a real artist, you gotta hustle. And that don't mean sell drugs and that don't mean sell sex. That just means you have to hustle and you need to know how to get it. If you don't know how to do it, Google is your friend or people in your life, somebody, but you need to learn how to hustle. Working for the man is not it, okay? It can be it for now or the next 5 years or even 10 years. But have a plan. Have something that make you feel alive.
Work
have
something
that make you burn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have something that make you go crazy. Like this music shit, we done sit there and fucking cried about this shit and sat there and still fucking beat shit up and raged about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, have something that make you feel alive. Like, I know this is my passion. Like, I know, you know, like, making people think and talk about what the fuck I'm saying is my passion. Like, I know that's what I'm meant to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I want to mention something else, too. Creators, marketing, like, that. We building a big-ass marketing media team right now. You know what I mean? And we might start doing marketing classes for Spotify and promo and Instagram too soon. You know, I'm thinking about it. Just a lot of stuff to work on, but I do want to help people in a way that I can, though, not just me just putting information out and people just receiving how they want to receive it,
right,
you know?
Right.
But I do think, like, artists, marketing is a big deal. Just marketing, man. It don't matter if you famous on Facebook if you don't have nobody listening to your music. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, that don't matter. Like, you want to give them a... You want to really get out here. You don't want to just be like you're looking out. Like you don't want to look like you're out here. You know? You get what I'm saying? You want to actually be in front of people.
Yeah.
You don't want people to think you're in front of people. That shit don't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Actually being out here and getting in front of people matters. You know? So the behind the scenes work, that matters. Fuck social media if you ain't putting in really behind the scenes work. You can post pictures all day. But if you're not putting the behind the scenes work, the social media not going to click and it's not going to hit. You know?
Yeah.
Because I see people with platforms, and it irked me a lot. I see people with platforms all the time, you know, whether they're models or, you know, people that post memes all day.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff. And I just see it's so much just misdirected talent that can be used. Because if you have a platform, realistically, in 2020, that's talent. But if you don't know how to use it, that's ignorance.
Right.
So...
If you have the audience, you got to use it somehow to your advantage.
Like, I know girls with 10,000 followers that just post pictures all day. I'll be sitting there like, you know, you should sell makeup.
Yeah,
You know, sell hair. Sell meals if you got to. Sell anything but your soul and yourself. You know what I mean? But people don't think like that.
Yeah.
And then for the ones that do think like that and that's outside looking at us, they're like, well, they just, you know, they do anything for me. But it's not like that. It's like when you got 30 hustles, you got one hustle because your 30 hustles is one big-ass hustle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, marketing can be a hustle if you're good at it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting good at that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this dude going to run a fucking Fortune 500 company one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Literally. And then he, my homie Amaz right here, he can write songs. You know, he's good to be, just sit in the studio and absorb. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to tell you. You know what I mean? So it's just like, just find what you want to do and get into it. Step into the pool. You know, just step, get your feet wet. For anybody that's listening that know me, you know, don't be afraid to just do it. If you know me or if you don't know me and you want to know how I do anything or what I do or you want advice or you're scared to reach out, don't be. You know what I mean? Like, we all about networking and business over here. It's all love. Like, if you about coming up and you about, you know, doing it the right way and you about, you know, not being told yes all the fucking time, it's a $1 million to be made for anybody that's willing to not be told yes a million fucking times.
Definitely. So speaking on networking and getting a hold of you, can you shout out your social media and music links, and then we'll attach them when we post it?
AJ Wayne on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. You can follow me on Instagram, AJ Wayne with 2 E's. Follow me on Facebook, just AJ Wayne. You can follow me on, did I say everything? Oh, Twitter. Okay, Twitter, AJ Activist. So it's at AJ Activist. I use Twitter to speak out about a lot of stuff that's going on right now and all that good stuff. I try to stay, keep my ears to the streets, to the music streets, to political streets, to anything. You know what I mean? So that's definitely a good way to reach out to me, Instagram and Twitter for sure. I'm always active on there. And then my Apple Music and Spotify, those are my biggest platforms. So I try to push those the most, definitely, so...
All right, well, I appreciate you getting on here, man, and kind of breaking down the album and what you've been doing.
Yeah, that
I'm
was
sure
cool.
We'll get another feature, whether being on your podcast, you on mine. We're going to do some more videos, hopefully get a feature for a upcoming album I'm working on from you.
Let's do it. Let's do it. We're about to record some bangers.
Yes, sir.
So. Bangers. New Era Entertainment, 2020, taking off for the 2020s and the 2030s, okay? AJ Wayne taking up for the 2020s and 2030s. Don B taking up for the 2020s and 2030s. Okay? Amaj and this mother sucker. Shout out Vic, man. You a good dude, bro. For real.
Thanks,
thank you for having us. We definitely appreciate you. We love you. I haven't looked at the camera the whole time. But that was dope, though. That was dope.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Thanks.
Up Next Podcast.